new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Goodbye 2020. Hello 2021. Welcome to Kego Lasso. We have Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce as we look ahead and predict a busy, busy 2021. We talk the European Championships. We talk who will win every single major league. We talk MLS, the United States men's national team, of course, and the United States women's national team. We have so many stories, so many predictions. Stay right here. Kego Lasso predicting 2021 begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of Kego Lasso. It's the final of our trio of holiday content extravaganza. And I welcome, of course, Heath Pierce. Heath, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's good to see your faces. You know, I started to get some withdrawals this week, not jumping on the pod with you guys. So I'm glad to be back before the end of the year.
Well, we missed you so much. I love to see all those books behind you. I hope that you read at least two of them. Jimmy Conrad, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm just excited that Heath knows what books are. So he clearly is getting into that librarian mode of his life. So glad to see you, Heath.
I'll tell you, there's not as many pictures in these books as I'd like, but, I'm trying.
I love it. Well, there's always another year. And with that being said, today, as we mentioned in the intro, it's about 2021. Good riddance, 2020. We don't want to talk about you. This is all about 2021. And today, Jimmy, Heath, and myself will talk about the predictions and the stories in the world of soccer as we look ahead to a brand new year. Super excited. And to begin with, we will begin with league action in Europe. As, of course, all the leagues, all the seasons will wrap up around May and, of course, the end of May and June, we wanted to just give a quick prediction on what we think will happen. And we begin, of course, with the Premier League. Let's begin with you, Mountain Man, Heath Pierce. How do you see this one? The Premier League, the most talked about league in the world, arguably. What do you see will be the conclusion of that one?
Ah, oh, man, right on the spot from the very beginning. Look, when I was doing sort of like the big five leagues and trying to figure out, okay, who's going to fall into place. And as Jimmy mentioned on an email that, you know, just a few weeks ago, we were sort of like, let's see what happens when you go through this, the holiday period, it's going to shape up. Hopefully we'll have somebody emerge that's an underdog of some kind, but it's starting to look a lot more like the safe bet is on the big teams coming back. But on the Premier League specifically, I'm going to go with Man City. It's a little bit of a hot take. But they have a game in hand. If they were to win that, they would be 3 points behind Liverpool. So I think they'd be in second or third place. I know game in hand means nothing, but Man City, I think, is one where I started to put them into the Champions League category. Like, maybe this is their Champions League year. And I was like, nah, if they're going to do anything, be the Premier League. And so I see them sneaking back and going on a run in the second half of the season and finishing on top. It's a little bit of a hot take. It's not a safe bet like a Liverpool, who I think are cruising too, but I'm going to go with Man City in the Premier League.
Well, I wanted your opinion, and that's what it is. Man City, of course, will Pep Guardiola do it? Jimmy, what do you see in the Premier League as we wrap it up next year?
I don't think Man City's going to do it. I think they are going to put all their eggs in the Champions League basket, but I don't think they're going to win it until Messi shows up over the summer. That's my big hot take there. I don't know if it's much of a hot take. I actually think that if Jurgen Klopp can win the league title with Liverpool this season, it could be one of his most masterful managerial performances. They're somehow still getting results. They've only lost once this season, despite not having Virgil van Dijk, arguably, well, I don't even know if we have to argue about it, the best center back in the world right now, and still piecing it together to get results. If they can manage this, I don't think he's going to come back per se, but if they can manage this busy time in the schedule, and as things start to space out coming down the stretch run, I mean, it's only a matter of time before you get the guys firing up top. Everybody comes back. Thiago Alcantara is going to really help unlock, I think, teams that sit 10 people behind the ball in a lot of different ways. They're going to have some options. I don't think it's going to probably take some pressure off of the back four, I guess, is where I'm trying to go with this. I like Liverpool to win the league. I think that Spurs would be my outside chance. I know they're in a tough run and everybody's crying for Jose Mourinho and this and that, but they've given up a lot of last-minute goals to drop points. Bobby Firmino, the 90th minute, just recently against Wolves, prior to Crystal Palace. Like, they had leads. They were in control of these games. And then for whatever reason, there's a trend emerging about them giving up late goals. If they can somehow figure that out, I think Spurs, I know it's a bit of a long shot. You guys are rolling your eyes. I just think that maybe there's an outside chance there of that. But I do think, at the very least, Mourinho will win something of consequence, whether it's the Europa League, League Cup, FA Cup. I don't know. He's going to win some kind of trophy for Spurs. And that hopefully should keep
their fan base. Of course you threw FA Cup in there as one of the trophies. Of course you did, you know.
Hey, listen, I'm not rolling my eyes at all. If there is a season where you can maybe hope for an outsider to win this, or at least somebody that hasn't won it in a long time, it is now. I mean, look at the table now as we wrap up the year. It's not, you know, the difference, the margin in points is really not that bad in terms of other people. I want to say somebody like Manchester United so badly. I want to do that, even especially because we've gone back and forth with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, of course, but they do have the talent to do it. It's very difficult to always think anybody outside of Liverpool of Man City, but this would be the year to do it. Having said all that, I'm with Jimmy. I think Liverpool is winning the league. I just think that Jurgen Klopp, the energy that he brings and the sort of tactical analysis and awareness of what he can do, even with a depleted squad, is going to be enough for him to overtake. I think Man City is a very good argument. I don't think it's a hot take. I think, you know, I mean, look, they're eighth. You know, it's not like they're like completely running away with anything right now. I worry a lot about up front, actually. Before it was at the back that we would worry about, I worry about up front. Gabriel Jesus, is he enough? Sergio Aguero's injuries continue to like bug them. You know, I just think that I don't know if it's enough for them to overtake. They've already lost twice in the league. This could happen a little bit more in 2021. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. It's Man City. But I'm sticking. I'm with Jimmy. I think it's going to be Liverpool. Any final thoughts as we move on? Because we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, my last thing is that I expect City to win a major trophy as well this year. So I'll come back to that as we move on. But that I and not the FA Cup.
All right. Okay. But listen, we want to talk about all the leagues, but we don't want to spend too much time on them. Let's talk about the easy one, the obvious one, Bundesliga. Who's winning this, Jimmy Conrad?
Yeah, Bayern Munich. It's not even a question. I do want to give a shout out to Bayer Leverkusen, though. I think they've been very impressive this season. Borussia Dortmund, I think, will fight a little bit, but they need Erling Haaland back as soon as humanly possible. RB Leipzig will probably be in the conversation as well, but this is Bayern Munich's league.
Yeah. Heath?
Yeah, I'm going with the same thing. Bayern Munich. Yeah, I don't want to eat up too much of this podcast time on something like this. It's not too trivial. I think Bayern finally found their gap, and they're going to run away with it. It may be tight in the end, but I just don't see Bayern with the quality that they have and the rotation that they already have back in their squad with players coming back from injury. You know, Alphonso Davies playing minutes again, that they can give up this title.
Yep, I will concur with Bo, Jimmy, and Heath, Bayern Munich's taking this. Special shout out to teams like Bayer Leverkusen, RB Leipzig, Dortmund, but this is Bayern Munich's league to be lost, and they're not going to do it. Bayern Munich will take it. All right, let's go to Serie A. This is an intriguing one because there's a battle in Milan, of course, about it. Juventus, of course, you can't ignore the power of Juventus. Is there anybody from the outside that can do this? Maybe AC Milan will once again reclaim Scudetto. Jimmy Conrad, what do you see here?
I like Inter Milan. I actually think that because they're not in Europe anymore, because they don't have to worry about that competition, the pressure of that Antonio Conte, I think he probably will make some moves in the transfer window to help bolster their squad. Maybe it's Diego Costa, who knows? But I do think that they have the talent for sure. And if they can get rid of the Christian Eriksen situation, which I think is hanging over them a little bit, and they can keep strengthening their squad and their identity a bit, and Romelu Lukaku and Lautaro can keep scoring goals, then I like Inter to do it. I think Milan's going to struggle a bit unless Milan does some action in the transfer window. If Zaha comes or Edouard from Celtic, you know, if they can strengthen up top a little bit, I think that Milan have the capability of doing it. I just think they're a little young right now. And I know Zlatan's age kind of balances it, but I like Inter to do it.
How about you, Heath?
Yeah. Yeah, this one as well. I started to lean towards Inter this morning of saying the same thing as Jimmy said in terms of what they have to play for right now. But I'm going to stick with AC Milan. I sort of started to bet them out because I looked across the roster like, yeah, they're young. You have Brahim Diaz, you have Leao. It's just seems like it's got this recipe of a Dortmund where 2-3 game run and they start to fall apart. Add that to all the games and the complications of their schedule. But I'm going to stick with him. I think Zlatan's doing something special there. And I think if you look at AC Milan's history, there's a lot of momentum finally happening in a positive way. If you remember a few years ago where I'm blanking on his name, the goalkeeper right now, was Donnarumma was going to have to be sold if they didn't make Champions League because they could sell him for half the price. That was the AC Milan of old. And now there's this really positive sentiment and vibe around them. So I'm going to stick with AC Milan to ride this out for a title.
Yeah, Serie A is a super intriguing one, of course. I mean, listen, Juventus is actually 10 points behind AC Milan right now. I don't know what that means as we talk in December. Maybe nothing. Roma, by the way, are third with 27 points. Wouldn't it be amazing if Napoli, in the season where Diego Maradona passed away, they kind of reclaim El Scudetto? That would be incredible. But I'm going to go with Heath Pierce here. I think AC Milan will take it. They're undefeated. I think they've managed to continue their run without Zlatan Ibrahimovic after the injuries. I think it's a very good argument for Inter Milan to take it, especially to Jimmy's point about the fact that they don't have to worry about anything else but the league. And that could very well happen, but I don't know. I was looking at a photo of me when I was 13 wearing a George Weah AC Milan shirt. I got all nostalgic. I'm going to go with AC Milan in this one. All right, let's keep going because so much to talk about. Let's talk about Liga super fast. Who do you have here, Heath Pierce?
God, is this so... It kills me inside to know that just 2 weeks ago we were talking a whole nother conversation of potential winners. But actually, you know what? I'm just going back and forth, and I'm going to have to go with PSG. Managerial change. There's too much depth and too much quality. I like what Lyon's doing. I don't think Lille were ever really had a chance to run away with this, though. They do have, they are in form right now, and so I'm going to go with PSG to ride this one out by the end of the season. It'll probably, be sitting in second and third place. But if Pochettino does come in and has his impact on the club, and they buy into the system, I don't see why a PSG shouldn't win this league year after year.
Yeah. Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree. PSG. Yeah. $G is going to win this one. I think they have such quality. Pochettino, I think, is going to bring in a little bit more stability, maybe get a different type of respect. I think they'll have that new manager bounce to start. And then I think he's going to put some things in place, maybe get some players in that are really going to settle the team a little bit. For as talented as they are, they still lack a little bit of identity. And I know they've had a lot of guys hurt. I think the loss of Thiago Silva has hurt them quite a bit. So they have to figure out a couple different areas. But yeah, ultimately, I think they have the players, too much quality. And ultimately, the steely kind of resolve that you need to have to be a champion. You know, we can talk about Lyon and Lille being there maybe in the last couple of weeks before the season ends. But I just think that the experience that PSG have accrued over the years is going to make sure that they're champions again.
Yeah,
I'm Luis, not. Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask you guys this. When you look at Thomas Tuchel, does he give you the managerial presence of when you look at him, just literally physically look at him, where you go, yeah, I could respect that guy?
He looks like a manager at Office Depot. You're like, no, sir, where's the paper? You know,
when you look at all the other managers, and this is terrible to say, but they just have this regalness to them, this different level of something. And Thomas Tuchel is a proven winner. But like when you look at him and you look at Mauricio Pochettino, you just look at two different people where, you don't know what Pochettino might punch you in the throat if you look at him the wrong way, And that's like Thomas Tuchel, he's a great manager, but sometimes he looks like he might go in the shower and cry from time to time.
Thomas Tuchel looks like he's going to look like Mr. Burns, when he gets older. That's kind of the vibe.
The shade on Thomas Tuchel right now. Listen, the only thing that I'll say is this. I just never thought he was the right man for PSG, because PSG, as to your point, he needs somebody that's willing to just, tell these egocentric stars, listen, you're here to do a job. Take care of it. And I feel like Mauricio Pochettino will do that. Thomas Tuchel is very good for a Bundesliga team that's trying to do the business. I don't think he was the right fit for PSG. Let's keep going here because we have so much. We haven't even finished the first. Let's talk about La Liga. This is a good one. The battle in Madrid right now, Atletico and Real Madrid. Jimmy, let's begin with you. What do you see here?
Well, I'm an Atleti supporter, so I'm going to reverse jinx this. I think that Real Madrid are going to win the league again. As much as Atleti's been dominant, I don't know if I'm completely on board with what they're bringing to the table. And I say that because they were pretty uneven in the Champions League. All of a sudden, they were under a little bit of pressure. You know, they didn't play aesthetically pleasing. In some games, they did. But I just think there's some vulnerabilities there that other teams can attack. And I think when Real Madrid figures it out and gets out of their own way, and they usually have a slow start to the season, they're going to figure out a way to be champions. But again, I think it's a reverse jinx. I really wanted Atleti to win.
Heath, how do you see it?
Barcelona's got no chance, by the way, though.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Heath, how do you see it? Yeah. The reason why I didn't even bring up Barcelona is because I really just don't think it's going to happen. Heath, how do you see it?
God, it eats me up inside having to do this at this point of the year. It just hasn't worked out like I had hoped. The dreamer in me. I'm going to go with Real Madrid. If you look at their form guide, I think they found it, especially in the league. Again, I do think there could be some complications with Europe and what their priorities are, but it all goes back to Zidane. I think he has an ability to rally that team even through tough times. And we're talking about drama, and they know that there's drama within the team and there's poor form. I think they've found it now. They've won their last five straight, maybe more than that. And so I just don't see how, you know, when you put their form up against the potential form of an Atletico, I tend to see some sort of dip along the way, even though they've got, I think, 6 points or two games in hand right now and tied on points. So I think Real Madrid take this one, and another title goes to the evil. No, nothing against Real Madrid, by the way. But it was one of these years. It's shaping up to something special, and it's just going to fall back into the football gods leaning towards the Giants.
It is very difficult to go against Real Madrid when you have that much depth in squad. The experience from Zinedine Zidane is just very difficult. But I tell you what, two seasons ago when Joao Felix came into this team for Atleti, I said they'll win the league. I was wrong. Maybe I was a year late, because I really feel that they can do this. I feel that Simeone has figured out not to completely tire out his squad and maybe go on a run. The key thing, everybody, is going to be the first week of March when Atletico Madrid has to face Real Madrid, right, on the 7th, then Getafe, right, the following week, and then Chelsea, Atletico Madrid in the Champions. I feel if they can just take care of business during that time, it will be theirs. So I'm going to go with Atletico Madrid just to make it interesting. All right, let's keep
going. Thank you, Luis. You're a better man than I am.
Hey, I'm not putting any money on it. I'm just predicting it. All right, let's keep going. Let's talk about the Champions League. A very interesting knockout stage to come up in February. Super intriguing matchups. It's honestly, obviously, Bayern remain one of the favorites, but I feel like it's anybody's game. Jimmy Conrad, Champions League. Who's winning this one?
Yeah, I'm going with Bayern Munich. I think they have been unbeatable in this competition. That's been proven over the start of the last Champions League, where they didn't lose any games through this group stages. They won five and drew one. And when you have to face a team like that over two legs, now we're going back to the two-legged affair. I just think, you might get them in one leg, but I don't think you're going to beat them overall when you start to do the aggregate stuff. And then when you get to the one-off final, I just think they have a lot of experience. It's the best player in the world currently with Robert Lewandowski. The guy hasn't slowed down. I just think this is Bayern Munich's trophy to lose. I think they're going to do it again, with all due respect to everybody else in the competition. I just think pound for pound, when those guys are healthy and firing, they are the best club in the world.
Heath?
If I agree with Jimmy, if Man City are not able to climb the table and are looking at just safely in top four, I'm going with Man City. If Man City are challenging for a title, I'm going Bayern Munich. I truly do. We've seen it over history. English teams really struggle in the back half of the season with complicated schedules when they have a lot to play for, and they're, you know, and they do have the FA Cup open, and it's later in the rounds, and they do have the Premier League title they're chasing and the Champions League. So they are safely or looking at a safe position in the top four, but not a title. I'm going to go with Man City in Champions League. And otherwise, I'm going Bayern Munich all the way. Not that that should matter, by the way, but that's just my two predictions, because I'm a coward.
Well, your original prediction would be wrong then, if you predicted Man City to win the league. So
yeah, what's going on? What's going on, Luis? Thanks for calling him out. I feel like this guy's sponsored by the Etihad over here.
Hashtag spawn. He's getting Venmo'd.
I'm trying to get a free flight out to see my Emma's.
No, listen, like, I think they're both legitimate arguments. I remember being asked this a few weeks ago, and I just gave a gamble, like just a throw in the wind of Chelsea maybe taking this one. I've kind of loosened up a little bit on that. I'm not sure if they're the ones to take it. With Mauricio Pochettino now at PSG, I just feel that looks so tasty. Pochettino to return to PSG, because he was a captain not too long ago, return to PSG and finally deliver the title for the trillionaires. I feel that's going to happen. I think that PSG will take it. So we have PSG, Bayern Munich, and Manchester City, if or somehow, whatever, but maybe Bayern Munich in that one, right?
Yeah, guys, predictions are if this, then that when it comes to me.
Yeah. Well, Heath, you wanted to bring something up about the Champions League because in one way or another, we might see an American winning it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit less than 50% of the teams right now, right? I think it's teams, seven Americans on six teams. And so when you look at the 16, those are also big clubs. Obviously, would allow for Chris Richards to be a champion if Man City can't do it. We don't have an American at Man City, but yeah,
Zach Steffen, Americans. Zach Steffen.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think that might be on seven. Yeah, we're winning it. The U.S. is winning the Champions League. If you look at the matchups, you know, seven players, maybe eight at that number. But, you know, there's a really high chance, probability that an American could win. Barcelona, maybe. I highly doubt that. But there are players in it for us to potentially see an American winning this year. Close to a 50% chance of an American winning the Champions League this season.
Yeah,
that would be the first time since Jovan Karofsky won it with Dortmund in 1996. So that would be a big deal.
It would be a very big deal. And, you know, the emergence of it is really good to see the United States men's national team see so many stars and just not even just, oh, they're going to be in Europe. The fact that they could win the Champions League is a big, big factor. All right. Final point before we take a break. Lionel Messi, everybody, he will be the talking point of every transfer newspaper, front page, back page, you name it. We've already seen so much of what's going on in 2020 from his, disappointing relationship with Bartomeu in the summer to recently talking to La Sexta in Spain about, you know, what he envisions. Jimmy Conrad, we've talked to Fabrizio a lot about this. Where is he going or is he staying at Barcelona? What do you see, Jimmy?
I don't think he's staying. I think he's showing all the respect that he can to the club that he is basically family with at this point. I think he's going to go to Manchester City. I think there's some signs that point to it with Pep Guardiola re-signing his contract for 2 years. Kevin De Bruyne also extending his contract for five. I think there is some tease of like, let's go. Let's bring Messi in. That'll help kind of solve the problems. I think that City aren't the same team without David Silva as an option for them. I think Messi obviously would solve a few of those problems and take some of the pressure off Kevin De Bruyne moving forward. So I like City to win the Champions League next season, Heath Pierce. But also I'm very intrigued about Mauricio Pochettino going to PSG and them making this move to sack Tuchel before the transfer window, because Neymar's made hints and dropped hints that they want to be reunited. Messi said that he would like that as well. Pochettino's a fellow Argentinian. I think there is some goodwill there. I don't think Tuchel, to Heath's point before, like there's nothing that really excites you about Tuchel when you see him on the sideline, but I think Pochettino would potentially lure Messi to go there. I do, though, I'm interested. There's a lot of narratives here. But because Barcelona are in some dire straits financially, I do wonder if Messi will re-sign and then have like a release clause that's closer to 100 million or something like that, where City and a PSG could afford that price. Those are the only two clubs that I think he would end up going to. And that way he could maybe solve some of the books stuff and maybe get them out of some of that financial trouble if they can get at least 100 million for him. Nobody's going to pay 200 million for him, but maybe 100. So I wonder if there could be some of that backroom stuff going on where he could help save the club and still kind of walk out of the club as a hero to make sure that they had some money coming in for his departure. Otherwise, he leaves on a free, and that would be absolutely tragic for Barcelona at this point. So I'm very curious to see in a lot of different ways what happens, but I don't think Messi's staying at Barcelona.
Yeah, some really good points there, Heath, from Jimmy. By the way, in our transfer special with Fabrizio, one of the things that obviously he highlighted was like, look, he's not making any final decision until he sees the ultimate results of the new board and the new elections with Barcelona. So that's a major point. I'm actually not going to say too much here because I agree 100%. I think it's all set. him and Guardiola are having a private WhatsApp messaging channel here. They want to reunite again. I feel like he's going to Man City. He also loves the idea of playing in MLS, and I feel that that will be part of the contract. Well, in the final stages, he'll come to NYCFC. I see it happening. I feel that Pochettino was an interesting, intriguing factor from a PSG perspective, as well as Neymar, of course. But I feel that the Guardiola relationship is very special to both him and that manager. What do you see, Heath?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I won't say too much different. Obviously, I'd love to see him in Major League Soccer in a market that I think would be better for him than New York City. I would love to see him in Miami. I would love to see him in Los Angeles. I think it makes the most sense to go through the city to Manchester and always have that sort of parachute clause of if it's not working out or you're not performing or you're eating a giant wage bill, move him on to New York, or a plan like that where, you know, they have a larger plan in place, which I think is a little bit crooked in the grand scheme of things, but these are the rules that are set. And I think that's probably going to happen. PSG would be an attractive one, but we're talking about two sovereign funds that can pay it. And I don't know, my only question to all that is if Messi were to resign, which I think would be the right thing to do, people are going to be like, wouldn't City or PSG just be like, doesn't make sense for us to go and reward a club who's gone through a lot and obviously had, you know, having to do these things to make the club survive? Are we really going to go and pay $100 million for somebody who was just about or would have been or should have been free? I don't know if that's anybody's going to do those kinds of favors, knowing that Messi is up there in age, right? I think Messi leaves Barcelona, not just because of the situation of Barcelona, but because his best days at Barcelona and the team he had around him are behind him. He will come into City and obviously do better than a David Silva, but how many years until Messi hits that one wall where you're like, okay, this is arguably the greatest player of all time, but can he do it every single week? Can he do it at the Messi level where you're getting 60 goals out of him every season? You're maybe looking at a season or two max. And so if you're not going to win titles in those years, you got to get out. And I think that's why he leaves Barcelona as well.
Yeah, and a major person or brand is Adidas in all of this as well, of course. So that will be a very intriguing part of this whole narrative. All right, when we come back, we will dive right into the United States, both men and women, as they look ahead to a very, very promising 2021. Stay right here.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Que Golazo. Welcome back. And now it's all about the U.S. We all know how well the United States men's national team is doing. So many stars playing in big, big teams. It's now about 2021 and the key World Cup qualifiers. Jimmy Conrad, let's begin with you. A big year for the U.S. in 2021.
Yeah, one of my big storylines for 21 is the continued emergence of Americans over in Europe. And then obviously the ones that are continuing to blossom in MLS and whether they stay and do their thing domestically or whether they go abroad. I think the big trend is to go abroad and try to take that stepping stone. I kind of look at 21-year-old center back Mark McKenzie from the Philadelphia Union, who are arguably the best team in the league before the playoffs started. And he was a big reason why in the back. Now, sometimes I think it's hard for European clubs to want to take a big splash on a young center back because there's so much, you know, I feel like you hit your peak at 27, 28. So you want to go get your experience somewhere else. I see Celtic are interested in him. I tell him to stay away from that dumpster fire with all due respect to Hoops fans out there. It's just not a good spot. Neil Lennon, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Big conversation there. But also Genk in Belgium, they're second right now. They're obviously playing in some European competition. I think that'd be a nice stepping stone for him to go get that. Very similar to Reggie Cannon leaving FC Dallas to go to Boa Vista. Then hopefully he'll make those steps to Lille and then onwards and upwards he goes. Now, obviously the big names, you got Pulisic, you got McKinney, you got Tyler Adams, you got Josh Sargent, you got Sergiño Dest. We know those guys, and I want them to continue to flourish and get valuable minutes, which they're earning. But I'm kind of curious about the next wave. Brian Reynolds is another FC Dallas Academy player that's getting a lot of hype. We know both Inter Milan and AC Milan are interested, and Juve is interested as well. He has been a striker that got converted to a right back once Reggie Cannon left, and he's been really tearing it up. There's a lot of high praise about him. But there's so much other guys that are kind of on the precipice of blowing up. We have Glosser and Ledesma at PSV, Mendes at Ajax, Yanez and Kayo at Wolfsburg, even though they're both either at Wolfsburg 2 or loaned out to Heerenveen. We got Conrad De La Fuente, who hopefully when Messi leaves will get a lot more valuable minutes at Barcelona. So this is going to be great. And I think a byproduct of these guys continuing to get experience, both domestically or abroad, is that it should help us for World Cup qualifying, like you said. We have the Gold Cup this upcoming summer as well, which got postponed due to COVID this summer. And then we have the Olympics. We haven't qualified for the Olympics in the last two rounds, which is honestly, is frankly unacceptable. We didn't qualify for the World Cup as well, and I'm still bitter about it. Don't really want to go there. And these are the guys that I think we're really going to have to rely on in a lot of different ways to have success in all these competitions. Now, I think the big challenge for Greg Berhalter, the manager of the men's national team, is who do I take to which competition? You know, because if you take a couple players of the Gold Cup, they might miss out on the Olympics. But it would really be nice for them to get kind of immersed in the first team as opposed to playing in what is essentially a U23 competition for the Olympics. I don't know. Obviously, we got to qualify for these things and put ourselves in a position to do that. And these are good problems to have. I feel like we have depth at a lot of different options. And yet some of them are pretentious, but a lot of these players have already proved themselves. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, a very good problem to have, Heath Pierce, for as we look to the U.S. In 2021.
Yeah, for me, this is about converting those dual nationals. We've had a lot of those guys come in from Makinola, Daryl DK, to Florian Balogun. He hasn't obviously come in. Efrain Alvarez, you know, Andres Perea. These guys Musa, are all players that can potentially, Musa especially as well. These are all players that could choose something different still. And we've excited them, we've enticed them, and now we need them to commit, right? And now you have this summer where it's pretty much make or break. So Akinola has to the call up to Canada. So he's still on the fence with things too, which rightfully he should be until he's ready. Efrain Alvarez, I think, is going to withhold from the January camp as well, just sort of until he figures things out. And so I think it's going to be, that's the story for me, is getting those players to convert and buy in, because you want more depth. You want these players to not be like, you know, if you're going to tell Akinola, hey, you're going to be in the 2026 World Cup because obviously, and you'll make a team, you want them to compete for the best team in the best spots. And you want that to be the mentality, not somebody who's going to be promised anything or guaranteed anything. If you're a young player right now in the squad, you're like, I actually like our chances of going deep in 2026 or doing well in 2022. And I want to compete for a spot in that team. And so that's really a story for me. The other story, by the way, of the national team is the U17 and 20 World Cups being canceled, which I think is, again, a huge detriment to the overall development. We have, if you look at the Wales game, look at the El Salvador game, mostly players. You know? So when you're looking at our Olympics, really, really light, if those players can be released for that, obviously Greg's got to, again, manage that schedule between that and a Gold Cup. But the Olympics and qualifying for the Olympics, it's going to be hard to get certain players for the qualifiers. But if you can get them into the Olympics, I like the chances of that as well, because most of those players, again, outside of maybe three or four in that Wales game, are under 23. And then that, again, those U20 players, those players that are going to be breaking out, a lot of them are, you know, Brian Uko of Salzburg, and you've got Kayo from Wolfsburg. A lot of these guys are U20 eligible, the 2001s and beyond. And there's going to be a lot of breakout players that we're going to miss because of the U20 and U17s that might have to now make that jump to the Olympic team at 17, 18 years old in order to stay in that cycle. So it's a really busy schedule. But again, Mark McKenzie is one that you want to see emerge. Understanding that, again, Jimmy, I don't think Celtic was the right move for him. And if he ends up going to Belgium, just like we're seeing at Boavista, we're starting to see these different trajectories. I know I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, but these different trajectories for players to take the right steps, not making too big a leaps. And we're starting to see success with that.
Yeah, I think the key thing is that now the overall football market, the biggest markets in Europe specifically, are now looking at American talent as a legitimate place to find not just players, but stars. And I think that that's a really good thing for both the U.S. and the development of North American players as we look ahead to 2021. All right, from the men to the women. Right? The machine, the World Cup champions, that is the United States men's national team. Of course, many of those players play also not just in the NWSL, but they play in England and Europe. And, you know, this is an intriguing year, 2021, for them, because the Olympics is obviously the ultimate, proverbial and literal trophy that they want. But it's going to be intriguing, Heath Beers, because, you know, the very beginning of the year, there's not much action, especially for those who play in the NWSL. The NWSL is meant to have a Challenge Cup, but not till the spring. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop. Having said all that, you know, Megan Rapinoe hopes to make more of a presence in 2021. Carly Lloyd as well is still in conversation with Vladka Andonovsky. How do you see the women in 2021 as other teams, your England's, your Netherlands, your France's, are trying to dethrone the champion that is the women in the US?
I'm going to say that U.S. women's national team are having good problems here, right? They have an old generation of players that have led them to two cup titles. They're starting to, evolve past maybe their status before. And these younger players are starting to emerge. And I feel like they're going to be a nice transition there. But obviously that's going to be up for the new manager to come in and solve that. Fortunately, they haven't had a lot of games to work through that. And I think that's going to be the big issue. I know there's some conversation about whether they should host the She Believes Cup again. The last time they've hosted that, you know, every time they've hosted it, they've had three of the top five countries in the world competing in it. Now we're hearing that England, who's now one of their main adversaries, wanted to create their own She Believes Cup. So they might not participate in this one. We need good competition to prepare for the Olympics. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for the team moving forward. Not only, you know, player movement and who's sharp and who's not, and can we still rely on the older players to do the business when we have these younger players that are pretty good too, you know, and who's going to be the new leaders? Because we're so familiar with some of the names. Who's going to emerge and start to be the new Becky Sauerbrunns? And I think they're still going to be the big names are still going to be involved in this Olympics. But there is at some point, as we're seeing with, say, Barcelona and Messi, because we had talking about him earlier, you're going to have to move past these people that you rely on and really start to give more ownership and responsibility and accountability to our younger players. And it took a while for our men's national team to get there because our middle area, that generation, didn't really pan out. But now we're starting to see it, and it's starting to pay dividends. So the U.S. women will have to go through that as well. Every club, every country has to go through it, and we'll see how well and how seamlessly they do it. But they need some games ahead of the Olympics to really test themselves, to figure out that best 11 so we can go on and win another competition, because that's what our women do. They're awesome.
Absolutely. Heath, thoughts on the United States women's national team?
Well, two things, and I think Jimmy said it really well, but the two things that for me are important going into 21 are, one, the lawsuit seems to be settled, which I think is a huge point. One for fan and fan sentiment for U.S. soccer. And the other thing is the CBA, getting the CBA sorted out. And I think both of those are in good places from what I'm understanding, from what I'm hearing. And so I think that's a really positive moment to move forward, right? We've seen players not playing in WSL for the year. We've seen players not playing. The national team hasn't played a lot of games. If you look at Greg Berhalter, he's capped more players in his 2 years than any other coach has in history. I think we need the same thing on the women's side to get them some regular games and start bringing some more players through. It's very much a small group that usually make up the women's national team player pool across all of the women players. And I think bringing in more players and funneling in that next generation to see who's going to merge is really important. But I think first and foremost, getting those two things right will help to shift just the sentiment of the players playing within the women's national team, U.S. Soccer Federation as well, as well as the fan sentiment. And I think if you can get those two things right, it's a good step towards going towards the Olympics and going towards all of these important times with again, positive momentum.
Yeah. Since we are talking about the U.S. from an international perspective, let's stay here before we take a break on MLS. Because MLS obviously will welcome Austin FC. They'll have some new storylines to come up. Obviously, it's been such a difficult year for everybody, but they've had to go through so many hurdles. The bubble tournament, of course, earlier this year, and then returning to league action. There's been a lot going on, ending with Columbus Crew winning MLS Cup. What do we see? What do we expect? What do we predict from 2021, Heath Beers and MLS?
That's a really good question. I think the prediction is that I'd love to see a full season, right? And obviously there's a lot of things you can't control within all that. I'd love to see fans back in the stadium. Being that the league is in our backyard, the one thing I've missed the most is being part of that. I got to go to one game, Philadelphia Union against LAFC this year. And I remember all of us standing, watching the game together as a group going like, this is amazing. It's so cool. And blah, blah, blah. Obviously we have some ties. I have some ties to Philadelphia Union and LAFC. So that was a unique experience. And then like that, the fans were gone. The stadium was gone. The league was done for a little bit. So I think coming that importance to getting back towards normalcy is what I'd like to see in 2021. You know, a little bit of that, you know, what, again, these things are uncontrollables, but the shifting to things we can control. Let's do that. I'd like to see an MLS team do well in the Champions League. That's, to me, is the thing that's I'm the most bitter about right now. Been so close so many times, and they've done well considering. But when you compare that to Liga MX, that's the most important thing for me next year, is win a Champions League. Everything else can be whatever. I know Jimmy's excited about Austin, but I just want to see an MLS team, whether from Canada or from the US, win a Champions League.
Yeah, I agree with Heath on that. You know, I'm still heartbroken. I watched the game, the CONCACAF Champions League final, LAFC, who took down three key teams leading up to the final against Tigres, 25 minutes away from being the first team to book a ticket to the FIFA Club World Cup, and couldn't, MLS team that is, to do it and couldn't make it happen. Tigres then turned it on and scored two goals. Really, it's heartbreaking. I would love to see that as well. We've been very, very close. I think the gap's being closed. I think there's a lot of respect from Liga MX teams that MLS teams can play. And so that's a good sign, but you still got to win. You still got to punch them in the face and make it happen for them to really be true believers. And I think I liken it to when we beat Mexico in the World Cup in 2002. That's when that rivalry really shifted and changed, right? And I think we have to win. We have to beat a Mexican team in a meaningful competition, a big final, mindset in a lot of different ways. I with regard to the league overall, I think it's going to be hard for the Columbus Crew to repeat as champions. It's very hard to repeat, which is why I think we have so much respect for the Sounders for being in four out of the last five finals. I mean, that type of consistency is really something else. I think the Crew will be there, of course, but this league is built on parity. You know, they have to find that weird blend of like, can we be like American sports, but then also kind of like the rest of the world? And I think MLS is kind of in that weird spot. Like, who do we want to be? What's our identity? And I think that's starting to sort itself out as we start to lose drafts and do more, our own academies and developing our own players, which is obviously we're seeing a lot of good stuff, especially out of FC Dallas with Reggie Cannon and Brian Reynolds in particular. And then on the flip side with Liga MX, to talk North American, let's see if Leon can keep it up. They were the deserved champions of this past season. I thought they were very good, and it's not easy to repeat in that league either. So we'll see if they can get on a run and continue to win some trophies.
Yeah, to Liga MX's theme, Santiago Solari has been named Club America's new manager, which is an intriguing one. For 2021, by the way, in MLS, two things in 2021 that I'm interested in MLS. One is the continued development of academy players that are looking like pros, you know, whether they stay in the league or head somewhere else, not just Americans, but like Latin Americans that also have like this dual identity, that, you know, those storylines are interesting because they also pressure US soccer to see how much do you care about keeping and developing these players. And then the other one is obviously who's the next superstar from Europe that's coming to MLS. Papu Gomez, maybe. Will Messi do a 180 and just come straight to MLS? I don't think so, but it's always intriguing to find that in 2021. All right. When we come back, we will wrap everything up as we return to Europe and we discuss the European Championships and, of course, predicting the player, the big player that is ready to be a star next year. Stay right here. All right. We're doing well, taking in mind all the connection things. Brad will take care of it on editing, so it's all good. All right. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Que Golazo, Jimmy Conrad, Heath Pierce. To finish everything as we predict and tell the stories for 2021, let's return to Europe and the European Championships. Obviously, they were meant to be in 2020. They will be in 2021 as soon as we hope, of course, and nothing major goes wrong. Some very, very interesting storylines as we see the development of such big stars in Europe. Jimmy Conrad, who do you see winning this one? It's very intriguing. We, of course, have the giants of Europe, but also some former giants that are looking really weird, like Germany, of course. I don't know what to make of them as they look into that. Who do you see winning this European championship?
Can I say France for both the men and the women? I just feel like they've got so much depth. They're so good in so many different ways. Obviously, the reigning World Cup champion, so much experience. And Camavinga, who's the 18-year-old for Rennes, you know, he's the youngest scorer in France's history in the last 100 years or whatever when he scored recently. they've got, that's just an example of how much talent they've got coming through their pipeline. And I think it's France's to lose in a lot of different ways. I know Spain is emerging with some young talent as well. Ferran Torres has been an excellent signing for Man City in particular, to use him. Belgium, like, we're getting to the end, I think, of this golden generation of Belgium's team. You know, Lukaku's not getting any younger. Eden Hazard can't stay healthy. Courtois not getting any younger. You know, all these guys on that squad, I mean, this could be their last chance. Roberto Martinez, the manager of Belgium, can they do it? England, of course, always hoping, but probably never going to. They're like the nearly team. They're going to nearly win and get everybody's hopes up, so then crash out. Italy, I think, could, you know, have a chance. Germany, of course, very talented. But I think this is France's to lose on both sides. I think the women are also excellent. I'm a big fan of Wendy Renard, who's also the captain of Lyon for the women. She's so good. And I think she should have won the Women's Player of the Year. No disrespect to Lucy Bronze. But yeah, she does it for both club and country. And I think they're going to lead. I think France in both.
Yep, some very intriguing storylines. Of course, France being a major favorite, as Jimmy was talking about. I love England so much, but I just don't believe it under Gareth Southgate. How do you see it, Heath Pierce?
I mean, I love England in the last World Cup. The problem is that was a long time ago. And they were exciting and they rejuvenated and re-energized the country. And they were so fun to watch. But I like Holland, actually. You know, didn't qualify for the last couple, and they're kind of going through their, it seems like these things are all cyclical, as you're seeing with Belgium kind of coming to the end of their run, and Holland has been really poor for a long time, but they seem to be really exciting and getting results right now. Finished second in the Nations League, so that's the team. And I agree with a lot I said around France and Germany as well. But I like England and I like Holland for this one.
Yeah, wow, you're a believer in Frank de Boer, huh? After everything that he hasn't done in the final, absolutely amazing. All right, let's. I'm gonna go with Spain. I think Luis Enrique is finding a rhythm here. I still worry about them up front, but they're just so talented. I think they could do some damage, but honestly, it's anybody's game. All right, let's finish off this episode with the major story that we want to talk about, which is, you know, we've seen so much talent in the last 6 months, in the last year, of course. But we want to talk about, I wanted to ask Jimmy and Heath about one specific player that they're a big player, right? So it's not like a shocker that you're going to hear here, but somebody that's going to turn into a star, a mega star. We're talking in the Ronaldo, Messi, Lewandowski kind of area. So some, you know, they might not shock you, their answer, but I think it's worth mentioning because there's a lot to still see from these guys. So Jimmy, let's begin with you, a player, a big player, that's ready to be a star in 2021.
I think it's pretty clear. The obvious choice is Erling Haaland. I think it's Erling Haaland's world, and we're just going to be living in it here in the future. 2021, I think he'll continue to show that he's going to be in that same conversation. And I think maybe more closer to like a Lewandowski type of player as opposed to Messi and Ronaldo, who are a little bit more unique, I think, in their skill sets. Haaland, though, is unbelievable in and around the box. So I'm going to leave Haaland out. I think that's the obvious choice. I really like Ansu Fati. I think if he can stay healthy for Barcelona, he could be really the heir apparent for Leo Messi moving forward as Messi moves on to other pastures, let's say. I don't know if they're going to be greener, but other pastures. And I think that's going to be, you know, an opportunity for Ansu Fati to really step up. I know he's hurt right now, but when he plays, he was the La Liga player of the month in September of this past season. And he's one of the youngest goal scorers ever in Champions League history. He doesn't seem to be fazed by anything. I think his talent and skill, and that's probably not that big of an off, you know, big of a stretch to name him as well, but I like his game moving forward. I mentioned Camavinga a little bit earlier. I like his game. I still think he's got some room to grow. One player, though, who's not going to be in that Messi-Ronaldo category, but I think is going to be a super central midfielder moving forward, is Ajax's Ryan Gravenberch, the 18-year-old, made his first team debut at 16. I really like his game a lot. Again, it's not going to be – he's not sexy, right? But he's such a good player, and I really think he's going to be a big signing for a club and really help whatever club he does sign with outside of Ajax to win some significant trophies when he starts to get into his peak years.
Some great, great answers there. What do you see, Heath Pierce, in 2021? A big player that's ready to be a star.
I think we'll see Florian Wirtz emerge at Leverkusen. I think he stepped in as sort of the next Kai Havertz, obviously 17 years old, set youngest Bundesliga goal scorer, which lasted 6 months until who I think is going to be the bigger player to come out this year, Youssoufa Moukoko, who I think will be a top level and really, really emerge this year. As we're going to see Haaland start to make his way out, and Dortmund doing a good job of moving players on when it's time, 2021 as a global superstar. Florian Wirtz as well, I think, will start to get his caps with the national team. We could see him as early as the summer in the Euros and really emerging as a 17-year-old into sort of the next level of being a star. So going from being a young talent to actually establishing themselves as a top player, where people are no longer talking about them as like a, hey, it's going to be great if he ends up being the player we want him to be, but actually being more of like a Haaland type, where it's like, okay, now they're hitting that world-class level. What's the ceiling for them? Those are the two players that I've got my eye on for 21.
That's great. That's great. I'm going to, obviously, you have to mention Erling Haaland. He is the next that's really going to be one of, but I'm going to give some love here to my favorite USMNT player, Gio Reyna. Maybe not next year, but this kid is amazing. I think he is amazing. Keep your Pulisics, keep your McKennies. Gio Reyna is an absolute star with the potential to be better than his father, possibly have an even better career. And that's a lot to say because, you know, his dad, Claudio Reyna, was unbelievable for the U.S. But I think Gio Reyna has the potential to be a ridiculous star. I don't know if it's 2021, maybe a year after that, but watch out for him. And by the way, Marcus Rashford, he's only 23 years old, an England international, already doing his thing. The problem is always going to be as well how far United can go, how far England can go. But Marcus Rashford is definitely something worth always mentioning just because he's so young. And I feel like we forget that sometimes. He's not 26, 27. He's 23. He still has a lot.
Okay, then let's go with Mbappe then. I'm going with Mbappe.
I'm going with
Mbappe.
I thought we were talking under 20. You're talking a grown-ass man, you know?
Yeah, I'm going with Mbappe.
There's this kid called Lionel Messi. Yeah. Have you heard of him? He's pretty good. All right, so we'll stick with Gio Reyna. I know that you like that one. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being part of this. Any final thoughts as we say hello to 2021, Jimmy Conrad?
I will say I'm glad that 2020 is coming to an end. I feel like I learned a lot about myself and some of my family members in a way that I never thought I would. And I say that with nothing but love and admiration for everybody. But it's been a challenge, and I think we're all going to become stronger because of it. So I'm very excited for 2021.
Heath, how about you, my friend?
Yeah, I had my third daughter this year, so I'm at no pressure on the women's national team, but now they've got three fans in this household, and I just need them to win everything all the time because they're going to be, they're already my inspiration, but I need them to be my daughter's inspirations as well. But I'm looking forward to 2021 and writing this one off.
Absolutely. Well, listen to everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce, but thank you for being part of our Kegel Lasso family. And I hope you're safe, healthy, and happy. And just look ahead to the bright future that is 2021. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, boys. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Heath. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Kegel Lasso Pod. Listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a rating and review. Have a great end to 2020, and here's to 2021. Have a great week.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.